Episode 0.052, It's Got a Radio Prize Mystery Timeline, Esoteric Punk Band Auditions, and a special presentation of Q&A with the Computer Boys.
When you were on the Ron and Fez show, do you remember when they played Cream or Scream? Where they would have, basically what they would do is they would like have a, they play a clip of either a porno or they play a clip of a guy being killed in a movie, in a horror film. Somebody screaming.
I don't think they ever did that in the WJFK. I don't think they were allowed to do that at WJFK.
No, because like, all I remember is that my friend Dave, who played bass in my second band, Ambulance Chasers, and like we were just a drunk punk band, but he called Anchorman off the Ron and Fez show.
Oh, the like a DVD?
Yeah, because he called up and he was like, yeah, they were playing this game. He was a big stoner. He's like, they're playing this game called Cream or Scream. And I was like, well, what was it? Was it Cream or Scream? He's like, well, mine was a guy, and he didn't sound scared at all.
Wait, so was it from like a porn?
Yeah, they play a clip of a porn of somebody yelling in a porn, or somebody grunting in a porn, or somebody being scared in a horror film.
Now, what year was this?
See, that's what I'm trying to remember, because I was trying to line up your era. This was like 2005, maybe?
That would have been around the time I was there.
So I,
they might have. Wait a second. Actually, they left WJFK to go to satellite radio.
Could be that.
So they left WJFK. I want to say like 2004 or 2005.
Okay.
So well, if it was after that, by not too much, that would have been more likely.
Ron and Fez. Did they go to New York right after JFK?
Yeah, they went right back to New York. They went directly to satellite. I believe they went directly to satellite. I think they went
XM or Sirius to start. Was it with the CBS? Was it when Les Moonves went over there? Did he?
There was,
because there was that whole thing where, wasn't it?
I think the XM building is in. I think it's, no, or was it Sirius? There's a building in, I think, New York Avenue in D.C. that's satellite. I don't know if that's Sirius or XM or.
Well, they're all merged.
I know they're merged now, but
it was
like,
on
when,
JFK.
When did they merge? Like, do you know when they.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyways, so I can't remember if it was XM or Sirius that they went to now.
I'm all podcast now.
But yeah, podcast.
Many years.
But anyways.
Suck it.
No, but I'm saying like, no, Dan.
That feels really good. Suck my dick.
Dan,
oh,
if
yeah.
it was, if it.
Sorry.
It's highly unlikely that they would have like sounds from a pornography okay. like on from terrestrial radio.
Really?
Especially,
no, the Don and Mike would do that all
the
time.
No, but like after the Janet Jackson shit went down with the tit.
Oh.
Shit changed for real.
You know what?
And honestly, radio is all run
well,
by
when did
a bunch
Anchorman
of
come out? That's the question. When did Anchorman come out? That could probably, cuz when would somebody have an advanced
question.
Copy of that's when it would have happened.
Yeah, so anyways, after Janet Jackson, it seriously changed everything. And it's not even like really theory. It's like it happened. All of a sudden, they weren't allowed to say shit.
Anchorman was 2004.
Okay.
Okay, well, so it was right, may have been right before.
I have a hard
time.
The
Janet Jackson thing was in like January 2004, right? I mean, that was
no,
the Super Bowl.
No, it was like earlier than
wasn't
that.
It before that?
No, I remember
if
when
there
the
was
Jan-
only some sort of
no,
I remember
no,
the technological Jan- solution for finding
Janet Jackson out
the
was in 2004.
Really?
Janet Jackson was in, it was Super Bowl in 2004 because I remember I was at, I remember where I was when that happened. And it was basically.
Do you remember? Never mind.
They had okay. So,
but I wasn't watching the game. That's the funny thing. I was just hanging out.
So,
with people.
So in the in WJFK, they had a thing on the wall of telling you basically a rundown of what you could and couldn't say. And the trick is there was no steadfast rule. Nobody knew what they could say. It was based upon complaints. One of the things written on the wall was you're not allowed to talk about liquid coming from your body and going onto or in somebody else's body.
That was around the time Howard Stern said, fuck this, I'm leaving terrestrial radio. That's at the point.
Anyways,
yeah. Terrestrial.
If you listen to what I was saying.
Sorry.
I'm trying to explain to you.
What the hell is terrestrial radio?
I'm listening to Dan.
He's totally Dan-splaining.
Liquid coming out of your dick.
No, I'm just saying.
All
look,
radio
no,
is bouncing
no,
off
no,
of something.
I'm just saying, like, the reason I don't think it's likely that they would play that on the radio, and maybe I could be totally wrong. Everybody's fucking on their phones. I don't even know why.
No, I'm looking up when
I'm
Anchorman.
Looking up I'm looking up Ron and Fez's Wikipedia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm listening to every word you're saying.
I'm
okay.
listening to you because I left my phone at
I'm
home.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm being a boochie.
A boochie?
A boochie kombucha.
I don't know what that means.
A snoochie. I'm being a snoochie coochie.
At what point did they do that? Did they do it right after?
Anyway, so they were basically, it was like, you can't talk about liquids coming from your body, going onto someone else's body. You can't say, like, poop. Pooping out things coming out of your butt, you know, like they had these weird sort of esoteric abstract things, concepts that you couldn't talk about. So it was really
shady.
You also
couldn't say like shit and tits.
You always couldn't say
fucking
that.
Fucking cock.
Well, you could always, I'm saying, okay, it's different. Like you couldn't like fart and stuff anymore. Like there was all sorts of stuff you couldn't.
Well, Dan, here's the chronology, and I have the dates of when this happened. Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry I got all bitchy a minute ago.
No. Here, I have the chronology of when it actually happened. So the Janet Jackson thing happened February 1st, 2004, okay? And then Anchorman came out in, like, July 1st, 2004. So he's claiming that he got a DVD sometime in 2004 after the Janet Jackson thing happened. So was there a time, was it literally the day after Janet Jackson happened, or did it happen slowly? Because I remember a lot of stuff happening during the W. Bush administration where they started cracking down really hard in like late 04, like after he won re-election.
That's a good question. Yeah. You know, maybe it is feasible.
That's
but
a sad day.
See, I think it was in 04, after Janet Jackson, before that stuff was implemented, is when he played the Creamer Screamer.
What was the deal? Like Justin Timberlake ripped her shirt off or something?
Yeah, it was something stupid.
Ripped her shirt off and she had a star thing around her nipple, and so you could see her nipple.
But that was in February of 04.
It was like, oh no, there's a black lady's nipple on TV. Mm-hmm.
So my friend did play Cream or Scream with Ron and Fez sometime in 04.
Ron and Fez came to JFK. They were aired on JFK earlier, but they didn't relocate until 2003, and they were there until end of July 2005. And that's
at JFK.
At JFK. So they were there during that. So, and it was, since that was after, if it was after the Janet Jackson thing,
yeah,
then it was somewhere. We've now sussed it out.
Yeah.
That it was somewhere between late January 2004.
Right.
And July 29th, 2005.
Yes, that's what, and that's exactly.
Can we narrow it down.
And that's
even
when you
further?
Were working there. That's the reason I asked Dan, is because like I was trying to.
I was working there up until they left.
So when did you start? It's hard to remember stuff from like 15.
2005 is when they left. I'm guessing I started at. It must have been. I started at like 2004 or something.
2004
or maybe 2005. What month did they leave? Like near the end of 2005.
You said late 2005.
Maybe I started in 2005. I can't. I think I could have started in early 2005.
Well, because my friend.
Those were the days, man.
Those were pretty good times.
In 04.
Those were dark times.
In 04, my friend played Cream or Scream.
They were dark times, dude.
In 04, my friend played Cream or Scream on Ron and Fez. So it may have not overlapped with you. You might have come later. And by 05, they'd implemented all these fucking rules and
that's
shit.
That's very feasible.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think it's really funny how many times you've said the phrase
Cream or Scream. I think it's a funny bit. I think it's a good bit.
Jesse, I still don't understand because I apologize if I was distracted looking at Wikipedia. Did you explain what the premise?
Yes, I think I did, didn't I?
You mentioned something about a guy and a girl.
Well, what it is like they play a clip from a movie, and the clip is either from a porn movie or it's from a horror movie.
Oh, okay.
So you hear like a scream, like you hear a, oh, or you hear a,
yeah, because there's actually a lot of crossover in sort of the concept and spirit of like pornography and horror movies.
Right.
And they're both like bad acting. Intimidation. Waiting till the indulgence and
the reptile gratuitous.
Gratuitous explicit shit.
So they would
play
like a 3-second clip literally of, and you don't know what it's from and you had to guess. And my friend guessed it was from, because he was saying like, I was like, well, how did you know it was what it was? And he's like, well, mine was a guy, and he didn't sound scared. So that was the, you know.
So he said Scream.
He said Cream.
Were you going to ask
Cream,
me?
Right,
yeah,
Cream.
He said Cream, and he won Anchorman.
I was going to ask Jesse, when you were saying before, Dark Times, were you just.
Oh, is that Cream or Scream?
Were you,
I don't know.
Were you like.
Maybe both.
What were you saying?
It's hard to know.
What were you saying Dark Times earlier?
Oh, the like the Iraq War.
Yeah, 04 was a weird time.
That was the dark
time. Oh, I thought you meant like personally. Like for personally, I was having a great time then.
We were hanging out and it was awesome back in 2000.
Oh, that was a horrible time in my life.
I was having a good time.
I was too.
The world was not in a good state.
No.
And it's still not great right now, but like,
well, I'm having fun during Trump, even though I hate Trump.
That was like at the height of the war, and it was not good. That's what I mean by
well,
that.
The administration doesn't have to correlate with your personal life.
We were rocking and rolling, and it was awesome. But
well, early Bush, I was having fun, but then I wasn't.
Other people our age were dying. So.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
They were dying. So I had
So that's the solved the mystery that you started after my former bass player won Scream or Cream on Ron and Fez. So does that mean that like
I thought it was Cream or Scream?
Cream or Scream. I think it was. It was one or the other. I don't know. I heard about this secondhand. I didn't even hear the bit. I just heard my friend Dave telling me about, dude, I won Anchorman. I'm like, what? How'd you win Anchorman? He's like, off Ron and Fez, man. They have this game. You know, and I heard the whole thing.
Why can you call him up?
I could actually text him.
Why don't you text Dave?
Since he's not going to remember. He smokes so much fucking weed. He is not going to remember yesterday, let alone fucking like 2004 when it happened. You know?
I smoked so much weed. I remember 2004. Man.
Well, he's not going to remember the month it happened.
I smoke a lot of weed.
He's not. You're not.
Hey, well, man.
I bet I smoke more than that guy.
No, you don't. You really don't. Trust me, you don't.
Oh, come on.
Maybe I shouldn't be saying his full name.
Some weed,
that guy was one of the coolest guys
I
knew.
How do you know this guy?
Okay, you want to hear the story of how I met Dave?
I thought you only
when Daniel met
Dave. I'll tell you the story.
Okay.
We got to cut his last name out if I tell the story of how I met him.
Okay. So here's the deal. I'm open to this story. However, on the premise that...
Yes.
On the condition... With the prerequisite,
yeah,
that you think that this is an interesting story.
I do,
because that's not. I don't think we've always.
Oh, is that you playing the sound effect?
We don't always make that clear. I think when we're delving into conversations, we don't always make it clear that the anecdote ought to be. entertaining in some fashion,
right?
Because sometimes all of us, and I'm guilty of this too,
yeah,
we'll start onto a train of thought.
This is an interesting story
that once you get down the tracks like a little ways, a few miles down,
it's a concise story,
and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, this is a completely pointless.
This is a concise, slightly humorous anecdote that's not that interesting, but it's humorous to me, and you might find it semi.
I appreciate those hedges. Yeah. Proceed.
Okay, here's the deal. But Dan has to stop playing that sound effect. It's just annoying.
I like that sound. It's a soothing sound.
Word. Okay, so here's the deal. Like, I was back in 2002, I was drinking a lot, and I was hanging out at like various parties. And you got to cut out his last name if I tell this story, too.
All right, we'll call him
Dave. Okay, so anyway, you can call him Dave, but... So here's what happened. I was playing in a drunk punk band called Ambulance Chasers, and we get hammered all the time.
What is drunk punk?
It's just you just get drunk and you play.
Okay.
I don't know, man. It
I
was
never, I never
actually
did that.
Patrick has a CD of songs we were playing.
CD's nuts.
CD's anyway. So like I was back when I was drinking. I haven't drank since July of 2004, but before, from between 2000 and 2003, I was drunk every night, and I was like, go wherever the alcohol was, right? So I had various friends.
And
I would
it's
just
all over
between.
The place. So you must, yeah, have, it was you awesome. Must have made the rounds.
Well, so I found myself at a party in Maryland, and I think it was like Chevrolet, Maryland. Oh. And I was
definitely find some alcohol
and,
there.
And I was drunk as hell. And there was this guy at this party. It was a bunch of like kind of college kids at this house that people hung out at. I knew a guy who knew a guy who was there, right? And this guy, Dave, he started. I thought he was fucking hilarious because he came out and all these kids were so like proper and like, yes, we are art school students. And he was came out and he started yelling at people like, you motherfuckers, fuck all you people. I hate you pieces of shit. And then like he was just like basically causing a huge scene. And I was laughing my ass off because I thought it was fucking funny. Just the whole dynamic of them not knowing how to deal with this maniac screaming. And then what happened is apparently like it all kind of calmed down and he just disappeared for a bit. Then a guy comes back and says, oh, my God, he's masturbating in there. And apparently Dave had gone into the other room and started jerking off. And a guy walked in on him jerking off. And then at that point, I decided that's going to be our bass player. I said, that's our bass player. And it turned out that he
did you know that he played bass?
I had found out earlier in the evening by talking to him before he freaked out that he was a bass player. I'm like, that guy has got to
so
be
that was
band.
His audition. That was jerking
yes.
off.
That was
because
it was one of the
party.
Fun. Well, no, that was the clincher. But the I thought it was
that
one
was
of the
clincher. All right.
One of the funniest scenes I'd ever seen in my life was this guy like just totally. Everybody's just totally. Like, ew, what's up with this guy? And he's just. I thought it was fucking funny because I'm a weirdo. He was a weirdo. And it turned out that what was funny is like that night I've never seen him act like that ever again. Like it was like he must have been on PCP or something because he's the chillest.
I think Dan's right. I think he divined. He's a sociopath who figured out
how to get.
He figured out. Oh, this guy Daniel. He's my ticket out of here.
No.
So was he jerking off in the bathroom?
I don't know. I think it was another room. Like it was a bedroom.
He was just chilling.
He was fucked up, dude. He was really fucked up.
This was like a party?
It was like a hangout. Yeah, it was like a party. He was really, really fucked up.
In Maryland.
Yeah. This was back in, and I'm trying to remember because it's hard for me to pinpoint shit from that era of my life because between 2000 and 2003, I was so hammered all the time. That was when I did the Madman interview. It was around that era.
Yes.
I was just
when you were drinking the 40 with OJ?
Yeah.
Two 40s.
Yeah, that was around that era. So it was like there was just drunkenness all the time.
I miss that era. Well, no, I'm sorry.
Tried to stop drinking in early 2003, and that's when I started the band with Will Mitchell and Mauricio.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that in that era,
the unemployed.
Yeah, I did that.
No, it was the employed.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I
always got that wrong.
What happened on the flyer for that show? We were called "Don't Snipe the Chef."
Yeah,
like the Galaxy Hunt.
Don't snipe the chef. That's
because I told the guy who booked our show there. He's like, "Well, what's the name of the band?" And I was so like just coming off drugs and alcohol, and I was like, "We're called Don't Snipe the Chef." And he thought I was serious, and he put that on the fucking flyer.
Where did that come from?
It came out of my ass. I just said it.
What does that even mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
Galaxy Hut was packed with folks.
It was a great show.
Besides the fact that the Galaxy Hut is a very small place, like it was still like,
was it,
like, well, a bunch of people were there to
was
like
it, was
see
it Larry?
You guys play.
Well, anyway.
Was it Larry?
Who the hell is Larry? Larry?
Who was you talking to about the name? Was it someone?
It was this guy named Evan who was a drum teacher at Music and Arts Center.
Oh, I wasn't a person.
So, like, here's what happened. I had the show booked for. Okay, here's what happened. When I was in Ambulance Chasers, I had the show booked in August of 2003 when I was in Ambulance Chasers. But then I tried to stop drinking in May of 2003. So I was like, fuck, I got to stop. But then I still had this show booked. And I kind of was like cut myself off from all my like Ambulance Chasers friends. And like Nick is in a Diamond Fisherman now. He's one of my best friends in the world. But there was a time where I kind of got away from everybody I used to drink with. And I was just like, I got to stop, get away from it. You know what I mean? I just need to change my people, places and things kind of thing. So and I love Nick and I saw him occasionally during that. But I was kind of just trying to get away from my go to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I started this band with Will Mitchell. And it was kind of like, it was like a sober band, right?
And Mauricio, right?
And Mauricio, too. And he was, I knew him from Music and Arts Center, and he was, Evan was his.
Why do you keep bringing up Music and Arts?
Because that's where I was working at the time.
Oh, it's offensive.
It's offended me.
Fox's
employee.
Everything about that store is mediocre.
I hate that place.
There's
anyway.
Nothing good there.
They moved, right? They're not there.
Yeah, they're not there anymore. Anyway, long story short is that in May of 2003, I tried to get sober, and then by August of 2003, I was drinking again. So between August of 2003 and July of 2004, I was like...
Was this before Cream or Scream?
This was before Cream or Scream.
Okay.
Yeah, this was all...
So this was prior to the Super Bowl 2004.
Yes, and actually...
This was pre-Cream?
You know what? Prior to the Super Bowl of 2004, I was hanging out with you guys on New Year's Eve at your house at Shreve Road. So in December of 2003, that's the night where I made everybody feel uncomfortable, which is pretty much every night. But that was like
you kept getting pissed at Justin.
Yes,
I don't know. I was.
That was awesome.
That was. Yeah. But that was about 2 months before
like
the Super
Jimmy
Bowl.
And Justin were like getting high in Justin's room and like laughing, and you were yelling at them, and they were like yelling back at you or something.
I don't
like,
remember, man.
It was weird.
But that was the point where I was trying to get sober, but I was still drinking. So it was like this weird fucking...
Humans are the worst.
Humans are weird.
It was a weird night. And I remember Dan was really nice to me because like I was sneaking beers and stuff. And he was like, all right, cool, you know? It was good. Because I remember that.
And Will had to come and like pick you up or something.
Yeah, because Will was like really supportive of me not drinking, you know, really early on. And so I was kind of trying to keep it from him that I was drinking again. And then like I was in your room and I had this like beer hidden away. And you were like... You were like, give me the thumbs up, like it was cool.
You were drinking.
Yeah. No, because there's that's what gets a. What I don't agree with is like, I understand being concerned about someone and all that stuff, but if you feel like you have to sneak around because someone's gonna start judging you or giving you shit,
It wasn't that because I genuinely it was literally like having two ideas at the same time. Half of me wanted to drink, half of me wanted to be sober.
Okay, I see.
So I was at that point where
sneaking
I had
from yourself.
Well, yeah,
I was just in the place where like. Dude, I'm not. I don't.
No,
want
no. You. And you should have been.
It's a tough. You're in a tough spot, and like, there's no reason to make you for me to try to make and you feel any more conflicted about it.
And I appreciated that. And I did.
So he's just like.
And that was cool. And it was like, at that point it was more, I was just at a dark place. It was like a purgatory because I hadn't.
Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't having fun drinking. But I also, didn't want to stop.
Yeah. No, I
so it was
mean.
Like, but by July of 04,
so when you were sneaking around, you were sneaking it from yourself.
In a way. Yeah.
No, well, it's a classic philosophical quandary and the question, which is if you promise your friend, you know, that you'll do whatever for him.
Well, I promise myself, too.
But then your friend asks for, a sword and is like, I'm going to fucking stab myself in the belly. Can you get me a sword? Is it moral? Yeah. To
you're
fulfill the promise or break the promise.
That's kind of
like
an
exaggerated version. But the point is that the answer is not easy. It's not, there's not a one right answer.
Well, it's also psychologically, and this doesn't even come to addiction, psychologically.
I'm giving the sword.
No, people have
come to me for swords.
There have been psychological studies that show that once you make a decision, you're calmer in your mind. Like, let's say you're like trying to think of every possible scenario, you're going to make yourself fucking crazy. But once you make the choice...
Once you've decided cream or scream...
Yeah, it's like if you're like cream or scream, I don't know. But once you decide cream and you go with cream, even if you're not really into cream and it's going to kind of suck, you're like, okay, but this is what I'm doing. I've committed to it.
I'm into cream.
Well, who isn't? I would choose cream over scream.
How's that Jay Leno? Is it?
Howard Stern.
I got a cream.
Jay Leno.
The world's worst Jay Leno.
Howard hates, or he hated, I don't know if he does now. I haven't heard in a while, but
he's a Letterman fan.
He hated Jay Leno, and he had the funniest bit.
He was the first guest on Letterman's Netflix show.
Oh, he was?
Netflix show. Letterman had a Netflix show on...
He loves Letterman. He's a big Letterman guy. Yeah. But he was
I watched a couple of those. I watched the Obama one. That was
good. It's pretty interesting.
That would be interesting. No, but he had this whole bit about Jay Leno where he's like, Jay Leno, he was kind of doing that thing, but he was saying Jay Leno has the greatest guests on his show and he doesn't interview them or ask them anything. He would be like, there'd be some guy on the show who's saying I'm going to eat an infant tomorrow. and Jay Leno would be like, so what was it like working with Jennifer Lawrence? Yeah. You're not going to follow up on that? He just asked you, he's like, I am going to saw a baby in half. I'm going to eat my feet tomorrow.
So you remember Jay Leno? Jay Leno did the thing, the man on the street thing.
Yeah. He stole that from Howard.
Which he basically stole from Howard. But somehow, when Leno did it, obviously people laughed and thought it was funny.
Right.
I forget who I think was a comedian. Somebody or multiple people have pointed out that when you really look at that, that's just it's so sad and depressing. It's a horrible thing. There's nothing funny about people being asked who the vice president is or whatever. And they're like, Martha Stewart.
Well, that's why Howard had a very dark.
I never enjoyed those.
No, but when Howard did it, I think it was funny. It's been so long for me to remember the specifics. Yeah. I just remember Howard's versions not coming off as sort of depressing about society.
No, he made it funny. One time he asked this guy, he was going around and he said, ask this guy, who would make a better president, Marion Barry or O.J. Simpson? And this guy was like, oh, man, good one. And he would play. So what Howard was brilliant at is he would take the funniest little bits and put them on.
Well, so I was thinking about the Jay Leno thing recently because Conan, I think it was Conan, recently on his new show did a bit where you think it's going to be that. It's a man on the street and they're interviewing people about, border separation policy and foreign policy things. They ask them questions and then the people give very erudite and intelligent and knowledgeable responses.
Yeah.
And that's the joke. I was watching with Jamie and she was confused at first. The joke is that they're giving an actual response.
Right.
And as opposed to just being like, I don't know where that country is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well,
Conan has a new show now.
I'll steal one more Howard. I'm not stealing a Howard Stern, but I'm just relaying the funny thing he did. So, but it was really hilarious where, after
it's
Michael
Remix.
Remember when Michael Richards had his incident where he was yelling the N-word?
The incident.
I
don't remember.
Howard had a guy go around. He had one of his.
No one remembers.
Well, anyway, he had a guy going around Harlem asking black people what they thought of it. And then, like, this one black guy was like, man, I like George anyway. I don't even like Kramer.
Yeah, I remember that. That was hilarious.
It was like, and Howard is like, I love how he's bringing in the characters from Seinfeld into this. He's like dissing on Kramer, saying, fuck Kramer, I like George.
It's always interesting to hear when you hear comedians discussing that topic.
Yeah.
Obviously the responses are varied and people have different ideas about things, but the prevailing response is, I understand what got him to that point,
right?
But he's a fucking
idiot. Dave Chappelle made a joke about it. He made a bit where he was saying, like, I realized the other day that I'm more comedian than black because I saw Kramer's incident and part of me was like really offended horrified. But the other part of me was like, hang in there, brother. I know you're having a bad set.
Well, Michael Richards is kind of weird. I was watching the UHF with commentaries, and like Michael Richards like popped in for like 5 minutes. Just
on where? On where?
The movie UHF with Weird Al.
Stuart Spilowski. So,
DVD commentaries.
Stanley Spadowski.
Spadowski.
Yeah, and so it was the scene where it was like Rambo, and they're off like in the POW camp or whatever. And so, like, you know, Stanley Spadowski's all following around, and like Michael Richards comes in, and he's just like basically like, look, see what I do there. See what I do there. See what I'm doing. And he's like kind of like, what's the word? He's admiring himself the whole time. And like, it's just kind of weird. Like, he feels a little pompous and like, you know, self-congratulatory about like the shit he was doing. And he just pops in for 5 minutes and talks about, look what I do there. Look and see that. Oh, that's right.
Oh,
I don't know. It's hard to put across, but he's not it doesn't come off real
well.
Nice.
Apparently he's so typecast, but Michael Richards is not like that. Like, if he's got a script, he can be Kramer and he's hilarious, but everybody thinks of him as Kramer. Mm. So when he was trying to do his apology on the Letterman show,
right. Oh yeah,
people were just laughing because they see Kramer. They see Kramer and they think he's doing a bit, and they don't even know what's going on because he's so fucking typecast and he's actually trying to go out there. And even at one point he says, I don't think this was necessarily the forum I should have done this at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, you know, because he's like, this isn't really what I'm trying to do. This isn't the place where I should apologize.
He was in Problem Child.
Yeah, he did. He was.
So was Gilbert Gottfried.
Wasn't he?
Well, no, he was in
Problem Child too.
Was Gilbert Gottfried in Problem Child?
I don't remember if he was in the first one.
Oh, maybe he was in the second one. Yeah. He played a bow tie killer or something like that.
I think he was the principal of the kid's school.
No, I think he played a character called the Bowtie Killer.
There was was that Problem
I think he
Child?
Might have been. I think he might have been in like Bowtie. In Problem Child's 2 through
Bowtie
8.
Killer.
There, he's been some other stuff.
Gilbert Gottfried on his podcast will frequently find cause to sing the theme song to Problem Child.
Yeah, he was the Bowtie Killer. Probably something else. But the theme song. What was the theme song to Problem Child?
I can't sing it, but Gilbert Gottfried can.
You know what's...
There's a damn song.
All right. That's true. There's a Dan song?
Damn. The Damned.
Oh, The Damned.
The Damned are
with
pretty
Captain
awesome.
Sensible?
Yeah.
Or is he a captain? Is he a captain?
I believe he is officially a captain.
Captain Sensible.
Now I feel like my questions
should be Sergeant Sensible. No, that sounds a little too militant.
This podcast is going in a direction that's more
sergeant.
Interesting than
master
what I was going to make it.
What were you going to make
Oh, yeah. What's funny is, Patrick, you were just talking about, like, having a story, like an anecdote, and like getting to the point, we trailed off into somewhere else again.
Well, I did tell you. Did you like the Dave Beep story? Did you like that story?
Dave Beep screamed and jerked off.
Yeah,
and then Daniel thought that was behavior he wanted to model.
No, I was like, that guy's
Dave
in the
Beep,
band.
And Dave Beep was like, it was his audition, really.
Yeah, and then he joins, and it turns out he's not only is he a chill guy, he's like a jazz guitar player, so when he plays bass, he's fucking brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the best bass players I've ever seen in my life.
When you said Dave Beep story, I kept thinking like there was a story where he went beep, and then really I just realized
Bleep
he didn't want to say his last name.
No, so. But then it turned
out... I even forgot what his last name actually is.
Nick actually is a better bass player than Dave was then, but Dave...
just said I almost did it as a joke, and then I stopped myself.
I was trying to think of the opposite of a...
Dave...
You know,
no, you gotta.
Isn't that the
out.
Guy from
Dave
Talking
Chills.
Heads?
The opposite of a is a compliment. His name is Dave Compliment.
But you gotta get rid of
it's
all that.
What's the opposite
Frostbite.
Of David?
So okay,
is it David? That's a yeah.
Dick.
Isn't Talking Heads good?
Okay, here's what I was gonna ask Dan and Patrick about.
What's the opposite of David?
Suits. Okay, I got a question for the computer boys here, Patrick and Dan. And it's a nostalgic thing because I used to hang out with some backstory. I used to hang out with James Verdier, who lived across the street from me.
Jimmy Vengeance.
Down the street from you.
We didn't live across the street.
Down on the corner.
Down on the corner. So very close to me. So I'd hang out with him all the time, and he had a bulletin board system in the early 90s.
Boom. Soul Eater.
Soul Eater. And you guys had bulletin... And you, who was that?
That was me.
That was you?
Jesus. Is that Coke Zero talking?
Damn. Okay, so.
Yeah, so we so I you, had, I Patrick had the spleen.
Spleen. What did you, what was yours?
Mine was Night Rabbit.
Okay, I signed on to yours maybe four or five times, but
he just fucking burned me, man.
No,
I saw. I don't know. I don't know. I almost signed on yours like four or five times.
But that was a lot.
You gotta forgive me. It's not my fault.
Oh,
I only signed on like four times.
I'm an asshole. No, but I would play those games, and I would go on the.
I had a lot of subscribers, so I don't even care.
Oh.
Yeah, but they all only signed on, you know, four.
Did you make money? Did you make money off your
PBS?
Okay.
No.
Anyway, I mean, I got some cash for Trade Wars, and I got some
Trade
free
Wars.
RAM.
I played Trade Wars with James up until 1997 on his computer.
So I got paid. I got paid. One guy paid me $70 in cash to give him extra turns every day in Trade Wars, and it was great because he offered me money, and I was 12, and I didn't.
Yeah.
And I said sure.
Yeah.
And I think you got. I forget how many turns you got.
I remember it was. You had to wait 24 hours.
Yeah, you got a certain number, and everyone got. And the whole point of the game is that everyone gets the same amount of turns.
Yeah.
And I just went in there and edited the file to give this guy a 1,000 turns a day.
Why
something
not?
Absurd.
Yeah.
Because
then you just dominated the
game.
Like,
this is how reality works. This is capitalism.
Yeah.
And then another guy gave me some RAM.
And
that's my question.
The thing about Trade Wars is so you could negotiate, you could haggle prices when you buy and sell things, you know. But like Tarek, who's like he's really good at the Star Trek The Next Generation card game. He's really good at games like that in general. The point I knew was bullshit is because when Tarek would come in, he wouldn't even bother haggling. He'd always just do the base price just to get through it as fast as possible.
Oh, he knew what was
up. But like he was like one of the top, he was in the top three or four on the leaderboard.
I saw episode one with him. He was at that. He was with big group of
Tarek's
people.
Oh, yeah. He was like Ochui.
Yeah, he was. I remember when we were leaving episode one, Tarek. I remember saying, "Oh man, that guy,
that kid,
he wasn't that great." And he was like, "Don't worry, I already know what's going to happen in episodes two and three. There's no more Jake Lloyd." And this was like in the day the movie came out.
Yeah.
So it's not like, and this was pre internet.
Yeah, right. This was before all that shit.
Yeah, and he knew, and it was true. Turned out to be true. He's like, "No, Jake Lloyd's gone, and this and that." And this,
what happened?
And here's the direction they're going in. I don't know. I met him that one time, or maybe two. I remember we were going
rocking and rolling.
And I remember one time we were in D.C. on the 4th of July, and it was like 102 degrees.
D.C.
And we were walking, and Tarek had to stop because he was like really like overheated. And I was like, "Thank God," because I got to stop too.
This is part of the problem with trying to go down there.
It was insane. It was like a misery. And he's like, "No, man, I'm sitting down."
But wait, you had a computer question, or we're still talking about how awesome BBSs are?
Okay, right. My question was this.
Trade Wars.
I,
Legend of the Red Dragon.
Do you want to let me?
Lord. Usurper.
I lived across the room from James Verdier. He had like a computer.
Are you reading from notes?
Yes, because I took a note.
He's got notes on this.
Okay,
do you have your biography on your phone?
No. Here, I took
autobiography.
I went into my computer today on my desktop, right? And left clicked it or right clicked it, and
you're
then
still
looked
Windows
at the properties.
7? My
I'm looking at Windows Windows 10.
Well, it's called this PC in Windows 10.
This PC is whatever. I'm one of the
most amazing changes in Windows 10. And in fact, you can rename it to whatever the fuck you want.
Well, I changed it to my computer.
I changed it to say that PC.
Here's the deal. On my laptop, it's a $200 laptop, maybe not even from Best Buy.
Not even.
He has a 64-bit processing system, 1.1 gigahertz of processor, 4 gigabytes of RAM, and 464 gigabytes of hard drive space, okay?
Okay.
So back in the day, 4 gigabytes of RAM would be unheard of on the top computer, right? So I remember when James had 32 megabytes of RAM, right? And I remember Patrick got 64 megabytes of RAM. And James was like, "Fuck that." Like, he was all mad, and he was, like, stewing about it. He was like, man, he's fucking going to be so much faster than me. This isn't cool.
I remember cool. some kid being like, bites? No way. Bits. Like, he was talking to some kid.
Bites
like,
and bits are two different
are
things.
Bits, yeah. bits are like a different. Zero and a one, and there's yeah. eight, what, bits and a byte, in a bite, yes. in a byte, right? Yeah. Okay. So
I think it's like seven informational ones, and then like one.
Well, there's only so
like
many.
The positional.
There's only so many characters that can make using bytes, right? Like characters on a computer.
You gotta up that shit every now and then. You gotta up it
but
up.
But they have 234. Mm-hmm. Can they make more characters?
Add a few transistors up in there.
Can they make more characters on a computer than 234?
Just because you are a character
doesn't mean you have a character. Anyway, okay, so my question. Here's my
just
fucking
because
question.
You have a character, Matt.
And we'll get back to fun stuff after I ask my stupid question. So, do you remember?
So buttons.
Do you remember how many? Like your computer in circa 1993.
Circa.
Do you
that
remember
means around the time of?
Do you remember
colloquially?
Do you remember how much hard drive space you had and how many gigabytes of RAM you had?
Circa de Soleil.
All right, I'll tell you this.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this to start.
Yes,
to start.
I think I had 12. Preview. I think I had a 12 megabyte hard drive.
12 megabyte hard drive.
I think that's what I had.
So
yeah, right.
My father
megabyte my dad.
When I was.
Oh.
When I was, gotta be...
My father, when I was about this...
I think I was eight or nine.
When I was eight,
okay.
I was
you were
eight
youngin.
Or nine.
He bought
yeah.
me a computer.
He bought me a computer.
That was made by some guy. By this guy...
Some guy.
I think his name was Wexler.
His name was
like
Wexler,
cream of some young guy.
Yeah.
He built computers out of his garage.
Out
and,
of his
and
dick.
My dad bought
out
me...
Out of old dicks he found.
He
found dicks and he collected and built computers out of them.
I don't think you can build computers out of dicks.
It old operated dicks like can. A computer.
So this was in the late 80s.
In the late 80s, what had happened was my father's work had provided him what was called a portable computer, which was this giant thing with a little yellow screen and two floppy disk drives.
Yeah.
And
hey, you kids like them floppy.
And, you know, the thing weighs 80 pounds and has a handle on the back.
Yeah.
And I learned how to program BASIC. I taught myself how to program on that. And
nice.
But he came home from work one day, and I had taken the entire computer apart, like all the pieces. I'd taken them apart, and my dad was all, he was like, "What the hell's going on here?" He wasn't that mad. He was more like scared because he was like,
"What's going on?
What are we supposed to do now? You tore about this computer." And I said, "Oh, don't worry, I'll put it back together." So I put it all back together, and it worked fine.
Yeah.
And my dad decided, okay, I guess I have to buy you a computer. So he got me from this crazy garage computer guy, because that's how you got computers back then.
Right.
You couldn't buy them in a store. It was a 286,
12 right.
megahertz. It had 1 megabyte of RAM. That's
megahertz.
The you know it had the you know the 600. What was it? You had basically the 384K extra RAM over above the 640 base K. For a total of 1 megabyte, 1,024. And
is that you again? Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry.
And it had a 40 megabyte hard drive. Originally,
wait,
had a
what year was this?
Late '80s,
like 89.
Wait, you were asking 93?
Well, I was. Yeah, that, but this
wait,
is good
so
to
maybe,
start.
I'm
this
trying,
is a really good way to start.
So wait, I'm
it.
Trying to remember when I got my Tandy 1000. Anyways, because
it was probably
was
around
shit,
that time because
that
I
was
actually,
a shit computer. By
and,
the way.
And that's the thing is, I was really into getting a Tandy.
It
was, and my dad looked at them and but somebody I guess he knew somebody who knew this guy. And they said, no, you should get, this guy knows what he's doing.
Be thankful you didn't get a Tandy because they were fucked up.
Yeah,
so you had 12 megabytes of processing.
No, megahertz.
Megahertz, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. See, I need to, I don't know computer. So you had 12 megahertz of processor.
I had a 1200 baud modem.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
modem.
Which was actually connected to my dad's computer. But he didn't really ever use it. It just came with it.
Yeah, we don't even
first
talk
I
about
ever
modem.
Had was like a 2400.
Yeah, because I had a US robotics.
Well, I remember when another thing you had like a 6400 modem too or something. No, it wasn't well,
that later on. You
yeah.
Had like
what did the phone lines theoretically top out on when you had a 28.8? It didn't go that fast.
Well, anything? You could yeah, because the 56K was more like pseudo 56K.
Yeah.
Normally, you didn't get more than 48K. And that's by the way that amounts to like 4.8. KBPS or whatever. It's ridiculous.
How many megabytes of RAM?
How many?
1 megabyte. And the way it worked is
megabyte.
On the old systems, you had 640K of base RAM, and then you had this extra thing. And what was funny was is when I talked, there was only one other kid I knew, I think, that was interested in computers or whatever, and he was older. And when I told him the setup I had gotten, he was started scolding me. He's like, you're never going to use that extra 300.
Oh, yeah. That's what they always, that's what they always say.
You got to program to a special register. Most programs can't even use it. It was considered this extravagance that was absurd to get, which, of course, is hilarious because...
So what? Okay, so
yeah, the idea of technology back then, it's like technology will never get past.
But
that,
this is a great way to start because we're talking 1988-89, right?
Yeah,
and you're talking about 12 megahertz of processing power, and you had one megabyte of RAM, and you had 1 megabyte of how many? How many megabytes?
I had a 40 megabyte hard
40 megabyte hard drive. Okay, so now we're gonna fast forward to 1993-94.
Played some Snake. In Q Basic.
Right. Yeah, fun. And I like the Snake game.
Real quick, I saw this ad for this airline way back years ago, and like it was talking about how great it was and how nice they were, and then there was a business guy sitting there on his laptop, and the flight attendant came up with like a soda and the lunch, and she was like, "How about these megabytes?" And he was like, "Oh,
that's a good one. That's a good one." Yeah. So, okay, anyway. So now we're going forward.
I had to say it before I forgot.
From that computer, so now we're fast forwarding.
So I think I can offer some insight, granted based on faulty memories and all.
Yeah,
this
that's
but
all.
I think
yeah.
I can offer some insight battle between James and I,
you know,
the sort of competition that developed because
yes.
I got this computer and I had it a little while, and then James got a computer, but the computer that he got or his family got was a 386.
Yes.
And so it was a little bit more advanced, and for a while I was all butthurt because he had this 386.
Yeah.
I'm toiling away on a fucking 286.
Yeah.
You know? Even though I got it, you know, I got a
monochrome
VGA,
monitor.
I went from an EGA card to a VGA card, so I could have fucking 256 sweet colors
Super
for some
VGA.
Excellent games. But he got the 386. But then when it came time for me to get another computer, then I got a 486.
Right.
You know,
I remember
and
that.
Then,
I remember
then
that.
It went
and he
to the
got
Pentium,
a 486.
Then it, yeah, and then he got a 486. So it was even for a little while, and then we got into the Pentiums, and then eventually nobody gave a fuck anymore because it was effectively meaningless.
Do you have one
so,
of them Celeron?
But are they still
nah,
Pentium?
Fuck the Celeron, man. That
so
shit is
what
bullshit.
What's the difference between a 486?
That is bullshit. Why do they even bother? They're like, you know what people really need? A shitty computer chip.
Hey, Patrick, what's the difference between a 386 and a 486? Is it the bit?
The taste.
About 100?
No.
It was a number designation, but it was there are different differences in the architecture. I believe 286 was a 16-bit. I think 386 is the first time it went to a 32-bit structure,
okay.
But in a certain way, if I recall correctly, 486 advanced some of that more. Pentiums got into the...
Was Pentium 64-bit?
I think so, or at least starting there, maybe it was an optional thing.
Because they still
do 64 now. You
started
forking off at that point, because it used to be pretty standard. It was like, you've got a 386 chip, you got a 486 chip.
Fork
then,
it out.
Then they started forking it out into having sort of like a whole...
Jesse's
just
having
like cars having a category of chips, and that's, you know.
So, okay, so my question now is in 1993, 1994, how many megahertz was your processor in your 486?
I don't know, but there's a good chance it was probably 32 megahertz somewhere, but it was started going up quick because then it started getting into like the 200 megahertz and the 300 megahertz.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember though if that was in the 46 or into the Pentium era.
How many megabytes of RAM did you have around circa 1993-1994?
I don't know. I'm guessing four. Maybe eight. I can't remember.
Four or eight. Okay. And
you
how
remember, Dan?
I can't remember.
See, that's what's interesting to me is it's just long enough ago. You can't, and things are so different now, so quickly.
Yeah, the time, the past just sort of.
So I'm
together.
Stuck in the past.
Endless
so how many?
I remember Sega Genesis.
Cacophony.
I think Sega Genesis had 64 colors, and Super Nintendo had like 256 or something like that.
Super Nintendo, well, but Nintendo Genesis 64. Had that really good audio processor. They had the better. I think didn't they have the better music processor? Was that one
they
of the
had,
deals?
Well, Sega Genesis had a faster processor that they dubbed blast processing, which was just a marketing term that meant it had a faster. It was faster.
Blast.
Do you remember?
But like I don't know.
That's
but
like when the Pentiums had the hyper threading.
Oh yeah, hyper threading.
Like, what does that mean? I looked at the picture. They had like a picture. They're like, here's this picture. This picture is hyper threading.
I think
and it just had some tubes with electrons shooting through. It.
I
like,
think
what does that mean?
I think the Super Nintendo actually had a better sound. Processor because it could do like
maybe I
got it like
I'm
synths
talking
up,
about
but
PCs,
the Sega Genesis was faster and I think, but the Super Nintendo had a better sound.
Well, you're a big gamer. I'm just talking about personal computers and the basics of that.
Yeah, but he was talking about video games.
No, I am. No. I just want to get. I just want to ask this question. We can go up on any. Yeah,
well, no, it made me think of it because I played games on computers too. I mean, yeah. I started out playing games on computers. I still play games on computers.
Those.
And so it just got me
thinking.
And you asked me, and then Patrick asked me.
We're like the coolest guys.
And Patrick asked me like how fast my shit was back then, and I couldn't remember, so I was like, but I do know this.
Yeah, there you go. Well, okay, so do you guys remember the first time, because I remember this was a big deal, when somebody I knew, I can't remember if it was James, it might have been James, it might have been Patrick, it might have been Dan, for all I know.
It was James.
The first time that somebody in our circle had a gig,
I don't know,
one gig of hard drive space. And I remember that was just like unheard of. Like it was just like that guy is like has got his shit together.
he's got his shit together.
It was like in awe.
It would be awesome if the awesome for me anyway. If because I've got 20 terabytes now.
Right. Exactly.
Storage. And if that was a measure of how much you had your shit together.
I don't know if it was you had your shit. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at. Because now on this shitty.
How many hard drives do you own?
I got a ton of hard drives, man. Well, we can go through that.
Well, anyway, because my
point... Kind of, it's a fascinating fucking conversation. It meets all the criteria I laid out earlier.
Well, I want to get to... that's kind of like you're jumping ahead, because I want to get to that.
I didn't know where you're going.
Here's my question. Like, at this point in time, I'm asking, like, what it was back then for, like, the state-of-the-art people in 93, 94.
The state-of-the-art.
So, like, at the in 93, 94, if you had a gig of hard drive space, you had a lot of hard drive space. So my point is now
you wouldn't have had that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone had.
So
that
okay,
much.
Was that
you wouldn't have had that?
What would be the most you'd have back then?
Maybe I don't know. I mean, hundreds of megs.
So maybe I'm thinking 99. Maybe I'm thinking later.
99.
Well, I remember there was a point where somebody had a gig and everybody was like in awe of it, and that might have been much later than 93, 94. But anyway, here's my point. I'm getting to my point. Back to my point is I bought a shitty $200 laptop at Best Buy. Basically, the cheapest one at the end, on the very left, that sells people when they see it, like, oh, you can buy that, but nobody, they really want to upsell, right? Mm-hmm. And that one had 464 gigabytes of hard drive space.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is that, like, back, if I were to go back in time with my laptop that I bought at Best Buy that was a piece of shit laptop nowadays, and I were to show to young Patrick and James, I'd be like, well, I bought, like, this crappy-ass computer, and I whip your guys' ass because I've got... 1.1 gigahertz processor.
1.21 gigawatts.
Exactly. I got 4 gigabytes of RAM and 464. So I finally trumped you guys 20 years later.
It just took a time machine to do so.
Yeah, but now, and that's
the same rate as before.
And that's what I'm wondering is now, how many, what do you guys have? Because I've got my shitty one, not shitty. I mean, it's great. I don't really do computers that much.
Your cell phone has more power than...
In my laptop?
Yeah, I'm saying you're talking about taking a laptop.
Oh,
back
yeah,
in time.
Yeah.
Take,
if I had my cell phone.
Cell phone back in time.
Right. So I would have my cell phone on me, and then Patrick would be like, wow.
I mean, there's t-shirts you can take back
mister.
15 years, and people's minds would be blown.
That's true. Okay, so my point is like, how many gigahertz processor, how much RAM, and how much hard drive space do you guys, as computer guys, have now?
I still use my Surface Pro 2 just because I didn't really have much of a paying job before.
Right.
Now I do. And
Surface rules. I got a original Surface.
You have the one.
I gave it to Atom.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But like honestly, for all the stuff I do on computers, it's all I really need at the moment. I would like to upgrade so I could do other stuff.
Well, how much? Like, how fast is that? How many gigahertz of processing speed do you have on that?
I don't remember do you remember what the specs on a Surface
is? Is it more than a 1.1?
I honestly couldn't tell you because it's like. It's just like a package.
How much?
I'm sure I've looked at it. I think it's 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Okay.
I mean, you could
look this up, by the way.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so right. Do you know how much hard drive space you have?
It was like, I want to say 512, but I'm not. 512 megabytes?
Gigabytes.
Or gigabytes. No, it might have been 250. No, I think it was 256 back then. I think 256 was the larger.
So this is an older computer.
It was either.
It's a smaller computer. Surface it's basically a tablet that doubles as a laptop.
Yeah, it's like a tablet, but it has all the functionality
awesome.
Of like your standard
desktop
or laptop.
Do you have a keyboard
on
it?
You can get a keyboard cover, or you can plug in a USB.
Well, how does that work? Because I'm thinking you can get a tablet when we go to England, and I want to have a keyboard, though.
Yeah, you can get, like on the Surface, you can just get a keyboard cover. So it acts as both the cover and the keyboard.
But does the keyboard, is
it's
it like
keys.
Annoying?
No, I mean, not particularly.
Okay.
I mean, if you're carrying it around with you, I mean, it's a give or take, because as a keyboard, carrying it around with you is not going to function as well as a normal laptop keyboard. But on the other side, it is a tablet,
yeah,
too.
That's
so
the
you can
thing.
Do some cool shit with it. But most tablets like act as just tablets, and they have their own architecture and world. But like the Surface Pro is essential. You do everything you can on a laptop.
Is it like a 2-in-1, or is that what it's called, or a 2-in-2?
It's just
a 3-in-1.
I don't know how to answer that.
This is I this
one
is,
two three.
We said tonight we weren't going to get on any sexual topics.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did we say that?
Yeah. we didn't, but we should. Yeah. We should probably make that a
all,
rule.
Everything veers to sex with you guys.
No, that's because we're not getting laid, man. What was the
question?
Not with me. I usually talk about like poop and stuff.
Oh yeah,
you're talking about 3-in-1s and 2-in-1s.
Oh yeah, a tablet. So I want to buy a tablet.
He brought that up, not me.
I don't want to bring me. I don't want to bring my laptop to England. But I
want
to have shit.
I don't even know if I'm going to bring my fucking phone to England.
You should bring
a map.
One of those old Nintendo game. What were they called? No. Prior to the Game Boy, they're the LCD.
Oh, like those
Donkey
stupid
Kong.
Tiger games?
Yeah, they're Game & Watch. The Game & Watch games.
And watch,
yeah, the Nintendo Game &
Watch.
Gay & Watch.
How about Gay & Watch? You get gay and you watch.
Gay Watch.
Yeah, I mean that's fun too.
Wingo.
All right, you got to
Wingo.
Okay,
pocket sand.
So get there. Okay, so anyway, I appreciate that information, and what's cool is that if you that makes it to the podcast, in between all the weird shit, I'll actually listen to that again,
and then you can use that as. So this was merely a ploy for you to get. To record instead of writing it down on
your
phone.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
I'll just listen to the podcast.
Yes, that's exactly
it's
right.
It's perfectly reasonable.
Joseph likes to game and watch.
Well, I also don't have to bother Patrick, because if I ask Patrick about it online, he might humor me one time if he's bored. But then it's all way up there, and I have to find it.
Yeah.
Scroll up.
Yeah.
But like on a podcast, I can go, oh, it's at 7 minutes on the podcast.
It's at 7 minutes.
You can leave yourself a voice recording on your phone.
No, I'm not doing that.
Why?
You can text. You can email yourself. I email myself notes.
Well, this is all
that's
I wanted.
Yeah, that's
you guys
stuff.
Gave me
that's
all that I wanted. Everything I wanted.
Everything
and more.
I wanted.
And also, since it'll be recorded, I can be like, hey, on the podcast, remember when you said that? It'll be more that instead of, remember that random chat we had at 2 a.m. when you were kind of just humoring me and you're kind of annoyed that I was asking these irritating questions about 1993 computers? Like, you'd be like, I didn't remember that.
You know,
at the time, I didn't
like
even want to deal with
that.
It.
I like talking
you?
About that.
Okay. Yeah, I got the vibe know. That you were like, I mean, it was cool. But I
no,
mean,
no. I mean,
just
right
now?
I mean, it's just when it's like 2 a.m.
and I get on this kick of like.
Literally in bed.
Sorry about that.
You're just like.
No, but he was
like,
cool.
How much RAM did you have in there?
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
Random access memory.
And you're like, I can't quite recall at this point, but I believe. But you still gave me good information. But it's better if
I'm a kind fucking
you're
person.
A nice guy. Mm. Well, no. Usually I can like ask Patrick random questions and he'll humor. Well, sometimes you like it, but I can tell when you're kind of like you're telling me
when I fall asleep and I don't respond until the next day. That's a good fucking clue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
word.
Guess
no, but I enjoy asking Patrick stuff, because Patrick likes.
I like. Answering
you
stuff.
You like answering stuff. That's the, and I like asking questions. Because usually I'll ask some random question. Like my mom, when I was a kid, she'd be like, dude, look it up. Like that was what my mom would always say that to
look
me.
It up
this
in
would
the
be before
Encyclopedia
the internet.
Britannica.
My mom would always say, because I would ask a million questions, like a mile a minute, and I was just like a curious kid, and my mom would just say, tell me to shut the fuck
I'm
up.
I'm just
basically.
A curious kid.
Mm. Yeah, she's like, just shut up. I don't care.
I don't care.
Go fuck yourself.
She talked like that?
Me.
No, she was
excuse
nice. She was a good
me.
Mom. I'm just
I
look
give,
it up.
Look it up. I don't
look,
give a
it
shit.
It is annoying, like when you say, what is air? What is air? What is in air? What is air? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when
what
you,
is air?
What is air? It is kind of like a dumb question.
No, I mean, it's a
you were one
question.
Of those kids?
I was one of those kids who just asked a trillion questions. So like, and I don't do it as much now because now I got the internet. I can look shit up.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
When I was a kid, I had books.
Well, we have books, but I didn't have the attention span.
Dang, yo.
Outdated.
Do you ever get
obsessive?
Do you ever get obsessive on the internet and try to like read everything, and you get so like overwhelmed with information
oh,
that you
yeah.
start
everybody
freaking out?
Oh yeah, everybody does, right? Or I do. Does everybody do that?
Everybody does.
Well, I was just wondering if you did more so, because you were talking about how you like to ask a lot of questions, and all the internet does is have information.
Well, I think that when I was in school, the reason that I would have issues with like reading books is that like. I don't know if it's attention deficit or whatever, but I would be reading like a paragraph in a textbook, and I'd be like, well, what is that about? Mm-hmm. And like on Wikipedia nowadays, you can just click on the thing and then learn about that. And they're like, well, what's that about?
So they're starting to make books like that as well.
Right. But back in the day, I would just get frustrated because like I don't fully understand this as much as I want to understand this. And I'm like, I'm moving forward with not enough information and it pisses me off.
So I'd rather have none than a portion of it.
Well, that's the stupid part. That's the
Sometimes you got to know when to close the door on that rabbit hole and get back out.
That's true. But also there's a point also where it's not practical because like if you're watching a movie, you don't know everything that's going to happen. You're just getting expository information and you don't need to go down that rabbit hole. You just kind of go with the story.
I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of eating a hamburger and then like trying to learn so much that you're like studying like how grass grows, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That's exactly right.
And then you're just looking at grass. Eventually, you're just looking at grass.
And then you're
and
like,
that came from eating a hamburger because you're just trying to keep delving deeper and deeper until you get into nothingness.
Well,
you get to the singularity, man. That's how you find God.
So it's not really a problem with the textbook or the education system. As much as it is like I couldn't focus on a fucking thing and my parents probably wanted to strangle me. So that's
I mean there's nothing wrong with
that. Well, if you switch focus, you can make it sound like fuckos.
You should get more hard drive space. Get more hard drive space.
Well, I'm gonna buy when I make
get
my
a desktop.
Computer. Well, on my computer right now, I'm not even using, like, out of my 400...
You got to start using it, man.
I've got, like...
You buy some hard drives, you're going to find ways to use it.
I've got, like, 350 gigabytes left.
Do you know how much space this podcast takes up?
How much?
A lot.
How much?
A lot.
A whole lot of fucking space,
and,
man.
And what makes it worse is that I have a digital hoarding problem.
Oh yeah,
that no Marie Kondo or whatever is going to fix.
How? Hence the 20 terabytes. Of
you're
like
a hoarder.
Yeah. No. So what happens is, we record the podcast, right?
Yeah.
And
real petophile.
Recorded as a
You want to bleep that.
Yeah,
out.
You know, you want to isolate that. You want to isolate that and play that over and over and over again.
Jesse said, "Cause terabytes," and Jesse said, "Welcome to the Terra Dome." And so I was like, "I'm a real petophile."
I know.
So we got to isolate that, and you did it twice now.
And that means three things, though. Like, doesn't pedo means walk? It means like a billion trillion or whatever, and it also means like.
It's like on Loveline when
I really shouldn't have said
it's all like
you know on Loveline when
it's
Dr.
all different words
when Dr.
different
Drew
words.
Said on Loveline he's like if anything I want to be dominated
words.
Remember when Dr. Drew on Loveline said if anything I want to be dominated and he was saying it like reading a letter and then Adam isolated that and played that constantly.
What the hell were we talking about earlier? Computers and stuff.
Oh yeah, how much space this
motherfucker?
The podcast. Yes.
Yeah, how
the
much
thing
space
we're talking on right
you,
now?
No, you have a hoarding problem with data.
Okay, so the podcast is recorded into a file wave format, all like super big and giant. So it's an hour of it is usually around a gig or something, right? So that's the original source file. Now, I load that into the audio editor program, and that creates a new copy of the file because I don't want to, like, work on the original source file in case there's a problem. Right? So
that's 2 gigs.
So then and then, especially when we've gotten better about this, but especially when we just sat around for 3 hours, and so I was having to cut down 3 hours into two or three individual episodes. So then I would be creating 2 more files, that are the actual like final edited version with all the bells and whistles and the hoo-has and the tee-tahs. And
titties.
Yeah. And by the way, audience, if you're not getting the titties, you gotta check your connection because you should be getting that should just be like part and parcel of the whole thing. But the long and the short
big
of it
dicks.
Is, it takes up a lot of space,
and
I have it backed up. I have it backing because I have a number of directories.
Back up that long and short dick
being
that,
backed that. Up, and one of those directories is the podcast
I'm
editing directory. So that gets backed up to a local backup hard drive.
Gotcha.
But those are also because this is such an important artistic and creative endeavor.
You have to keep every
it has to be insured for posterity.
Yeah, you got
the final edits.
Is it in the cloud?
And the thing, it is in the cloud. It's on my Google Drive.
There's
so,
gonna be
like,
some archaeologist in the future. Are they gonna have that digital archaeologist?
They're
gonna go through.
Oh,
all
they
this?
Already do. It already exists.
That's
digital archaeology is
there's
already.
There's already a
really?
Term for it. Like file. It's not file decay.
Well, there's
but like
a pedophile.
Oh my god.
But no, there's some crazy shit. What if like you sexting
man.
With some girl?
It's so brilliant, but it's just I feel weird saying it.
No,
though.
But here is it is weird
it's
to
like
me.
I don't want to be associated with that.
This is an interesting topic. I want to say real quick. because, you know, I got really into genealogy about 10 years ago, and I went down to the archives, and I saw my great-great-grandfather's...
Like the start of, like, a great old tune. I went down to the archives.
Well, I saw my great-great-grandfather's Civil War pension, and I see his signature on it.
Which side?
My dad's side.
No, north or the south?
Oh, no.
What do we? Oh, the northern side. He was on the Union side. Sorry. Side of your family?
That's what I said. No, it's an understandable.
It's a confusion. No. Yeah, he was in the Union Army, and on my mom's side, there's another guy in the Union Army too. And I went down and I got their pensions that they were getting up into the early 20th century, and their widow, my great great grandmother died in 1937, and then they stopped the pension to her, right? So the pension stopped coming, and I see the final thing from her, you know, daughter sending in the letter that says she's, you know, passed away, and so you don't need to send the pension anymore. And it was all this interesting stuff, and I'm like, I'm looking at really intimate details, and I saw, like, medical records that he had to prove that he had, like, a, you know, like some kind of hernia that and some kind of back problem that he had gotten when he was in the Army, and it affected him for the rest of his life. So I'm looking at all these really personal records of basically a stranger. I never met this guy. And I'm realizing that, like, there are very intimate, weird conversations I've had with, like, females that are, like, in the cloud now of me saying some very, very, very sexual things, you know, and, like,
very sexual.
But
see, like, it's back to the sex again.
But my
three-in-one and the two-in-one.
But listen, you're the one who made that into sex. I didn't even say that.
Triple-double.
Cream or scream?
Three inputs.
Cream or scream, Jay.
So my point, and I'm getting my point, and we can move on. Is that, like, my great-great-grandkids, if I have kids, which I probably won't, but if I do...
It's your kids, Marty.
They might be going through, like, doing genealogy and see their great-great-grandfather saying some, like, really, like, sexual stuff to some random girl online.
But the anxiety that appears to be afflicting you as a result of this thought,
right,
I think is somewhat misplaced. Because
probably.
Almost by definition, what you're talking about would be wholly the norm. So just as we think it's normal to find some tax records and maybe a deed and a couple things for people from 100 years ago, like 100 years from now, they'll just think it's perfectly normal
to find sexual,
like, oh, look, these people had a lively and interesting sexual lives. That's great, you know. But Penn and Teller always talk, or
interesting.
Penn Jillette
that's
always
an interesting
about
point. Yeah.
The issue, he said, he was talking about the Bezos thing and how great it was that Bezos was sort of standing up to the National Enquirer trying to blackmail him, alter the Washington Post stories because they got pictures of him and texts with his girlfriend and all that. And the idea is that. That's how you solve that problem. Blackmail can only work
if it's totally.
If it, you know, by definition, if it's a problem, and if it's no longer considered a problem,
oh, yeah.
To be like, oh yeah, it's similar to the idea that you're at that stage when you're a boy,
yeah.
And everyone's like, I bet he masturbates. No. Ah, what a loser! That guy probably masturbates. But then again, because everybody's doing it,
and
it becomes this thing. So it's once it gets out there that everyone's doing it, then it's no longer an issue.
Right. Well, it's also. Well, I mean, I had a similar situation that eventually I'll tell the story about.
Does it involve masturbation? Because your other story, one of your other stories this evening did involve masturbation. The story about David Bleep. Involved masturbation.
The thing is, like, I did have a similar situation where somebody was kind of trying to play that kind of game with me, and I said,
you're trying to play the masturbation game with you?
Well, just trying to, like, shame me or something.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
You were like, fuck that.
And, like, Bezos, my hat's off to him because he was like, look, man, I don't want my shit out there, but if you got to do that, I'll do it, and I'm going to take you the fuck down, and I'm going to fuck you up.
So, for example... this type of thing wouldn't be as easy to pull in cultures where they just don't give a fuck.
Right. And yeah. Most cultures would be like,
this is the hilarious, funny example. But the thing is it applies to lots of things where it's like if people simply did not worry so much because it's arbitrary. It's whatever concerns people have are completely arbitrary. So think, you know, like taking a shit with the door open.
Right.
I think there are plenty of reasons to advocate having a door closed. That's generally my preference.
Yeah.
That's also generally my preference. But I also respect and consider the idea that the only reason I like the door closed is because I was raised in an environment that sort of put shame on the defecation.
I had a
process.
Very serious relationship with this girl from Bolivia and
with
my
toilet.
Yeah, well, she would have no problem like walking in the bathroom while I'm taking a crap, and I'm like, it wasn't a problem. She's like, "What are you doing in here? Oh, you're taking a crap." And it was like, "Whoa,
wait, who is this?"
This girl I dated for like 4 years.
She was a foreign chick.
Yeah, she was from Santa Cruz, Bolivia. She was I was very serious with her.
I was at
but she didn't have those issues with that, and I was like, no, I wanted my bathroom time.
It's Catholicism.
So I was at this
from Catholicism.
I was at this dude's house. He's like in his 40s. I mean, you know him, but like he's in his 40s and he has a daughter, and she's like, I don't know, at the time she was like 19 or 20. And I was like 27 or 28. Anyways, so I was at this house waiting for him. And so like I went and I was laying on the couch and I just took a nap on the couch and started sleeping. And then she like came down and was at the computer doing whatever. And I was like sleeping on the couch. And then I found out later that the grandma was like, thought that was like not scandalous, but she thought it was kind of like, it was a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
There was a little controversial it was a little racy or whatever, because I was napping on a couch,
yeah,
and the daughter was in the same room, even though this room is like, it was like a basement, like totally open door split level kind of scenario. There weren't like closed doors, it was like open room.
What year
basically.
Was this again?
I mean, this happened probably in like 2008 2009.
Interesting.
But the point being is like, it's like a totally normal thing. I'm just like kind of napping, yeah, on the couch. She comes down and goes to the computer, and then the grandmother felt like weird about that. So I guess that goes along with the point of like what you're raised in, what,
yeah,
was normal,
totally,
then, and what was crazy then is now just like whatever. So totally in the future, if you talk about like fucking 10 butts and 10 farts and like,
right,
fucking butts isn't weird. I should,
well, look
say
at
that.
our
you know what I mean,
conversation
talking about like
so bizarre
talking,
I mean,
about chewing on private parts and like shoving pubic hair in your ears, like
I don't know if that'll ever be normal.
Like that would be totally normal then.
No, but there's a common definitional colloquial mistake I just have enjoyed saying. We talked about colloquial.
Oh, colloquial.
So
I had a problem with that.
Week, yeah.
I think I said it right, but I thought I said it wrong.
Yeah,
so
then it got weird.
Yeah, then I said, started saying it wrong.
Colloquial.
Colloquially.
But the term normal, people cockily miscategorize the term normal, right? Because if you say something's abnormal, a lot of people, they don't like that. It has a pejorative meaning. And I agree, it can be taken
normal.
That way.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
And if you call, so if you say something that's not going to be normal, what you mean is it's not going to be as common as other things, which is probably,
sure,
right.
Sure.
And that, in that sense, normal is fine. It's fine to say this is normal behavior. This is, you know, other behavior.
Yeah.
However, the other definition of normal is it within the range of being cool? You know,
right.
It's like, and not just,
well,
society.
Is,
it's
I
like,
mean, some they talk about that with like the growth of like kids or whatever. It's like, oh, is this kid,
yeah,
having normal social growth? And
yes,
this kid's not doing this at this age. Is that abnormal? And that starts to be.
Well, that was, yeah, in Star Trek Generations where the guy was like, Soren was like, have you ever thought of getting something more normal? For Geordi with his eye,
oh, yeah,
advisor, he's like, have you ever thought,
yes,
of getting something more normal? And then Geordi's like, what's normal? And he's,
yeah,
like, normal is what everybody else is, and
you
are
not. That's a good example. But with the sex fetish thing, is it was something that comes up a lot, right? Which is that the idea really is a sexual fetish. There's nothing wrong with any of them, except there's the potential in some areas where you can say maybe it's not healthy. Mm. So if you start having something that causes severe injury or something.
Well, yeah, if you have like a tumor, that's not normal, right? I mean,
no, but I'm saying if it's like, behavior choices.
Right.
And that's where it gets difficult when you see somebody who is hurting themselves or who are perceived to be hurting themselves, but in their mind they're like, this is awesome, whatever,
right,
I'm doing. And it's a judgment call at one point where you say, okay, this is becoming unhealthy, which is where I tend to prefer, at least for the moment, the term, you know, healthy versus unhealthy. Because,
right,
if you like to dress up as a big fluffy mouse and rub your dick and balls over like other people like that or whatever.
Who doesn't like that?
What's wrong with that? That sounds, you know.
Speaking of which, I really got
to
pee. That sounds like a your thing, man.
I really got to pee. So I just can't. I got to
go pee, dude. Yeah. I went.
Do you guys want to come with me?
I went and peed like a few minutes
ago. Can we cross
ago.
The streams?
Yeah, let's go all pee. Hey, you guys, we can put this on the podcast. I'm sorry. I fucked up. I just have to go. I'll be right back.
Just go pee, you son of a bitch. Jeez. I wouldn't pee. And so I came back. I didn't make any fucking bones about it.
And then I brought my pee stream into it. Your pee? Because Patrick was on a good roll.
This guy is funny.
This guy.
Daniel is awkwardly walking to the bathroom. He desperately has to pee. He may have, in fact, peed a little bit in his pants already. There might be little driblets in there, which is fine. It happens to everybody.
It's interesting. As you get older. It's interesting when you do something unhealthy for yourself and it goes from different stages with the people around you, because at first, like, someone might start giving you just tons of shit. And there's different reasons for people giving you shit. One of them is because, like, they feel like they're attached to you enough that they feel that giving you shit, it's like, not necessarily to help you, but they're also frustrated. But when it gets to a point where you're just such a dick that they don't care about you anymore, they stop giving you shit. They just don't hang out with you anymore. They're just like, fuck this person. But yeah. But like, when they give you shit, like, part of it, like I said, it's either they're trying to, in their mind, help you somehow, I guess. But mostly I think it's frustration. And it's like, if you're so frustrated, like, why are you getting angry? And it's because, I guess, it implies that they care about you in some kind of weird way. Like, your existence means something. But yeah, so like, I just thought it was interesting talking about healthy and unhealthy, and like, wanting to, like, when you see someone engage in unhealthy behavior, what defines when you give them
shit? Exactly. That's the hard part.
Or whether you agree with what they're doing and you're like, oh, cool. Or you're like thinking, oh, it's not so bad. I'm not so into it, but you do your thing.
Yeah.
Oh, then you're at the point where, like, man, you got to stop this. Fuck you. What the fuck? Fuck, fuck. And then you get to the point, or then you're at the point where, like, I'm just not going to hang out with this person. Yeah. I don't give a shit about them anymore.
Well,
I think,
I think, first of all, it's clearly a spectrum, and that's where the judgment calls come in. But unfortunately, the judgment calls are being made by people whose judgments are formed by a lot of variables, and they can be very different.
And when is that person making who's making the judgment about somebody who's being unhealthy? When is that person being an unhealthy dick themselves?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And people will react in maladaptive ways. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that's difficult these days is that we cannot justifiably rely on a lot of the old rubrics that used to work to a certain degree in smaller societies where it was just, these are the rules.
Right.
They're not questioned, or if they're questioned, it's in a very limited, socially prescribed way, and just everyone's going to dress like this, and the women will do this, the men will do this.
If you don't, it's like, this guy's out of the norm.
This class does this. And there was a simplicity to that, but obviously also a real horrifying structure. Now, some people would argue that that's better for, you know, some people would prefer to live.
But you're inevitably going to meet up, probably most likely, with people that are completely isolated from your group.
Exactly.
And what are the chances you're going to see them and be like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Yes. You know, and that causes obvious problems.
So when you're in an environment where you want to have and exercise the opportunity to learn from and experience lots of different ways of doing things, and to try out your own personal ways of wanting to do things and live your life, it's great that we have that opportunity, but everyone has that opportunity. Well, you know, quote unquote, theoretically, I know that there's complicated complications to that statement, but in theory, people are now more able to take some choice in terms of how they react to the world. You don't have to stay with your family. You don't have to stay in your city. You know, there are, at least in theory, some options in terms of living the way you want to live, but that's going to butt up against the way other people want to live. And that's complicated. And when it comes to, you know, friends and family who you have concerns about, sometimes, in some cases, other people are going to be like, your concerns are offensive and not justified. For example, Jimmy is gay. Not our Jimmy, but, you know.
Right.
Sorry, Jimmy. No, but if you say, like, oh, you know, my nephew is gay.
Jimmy.
Cool. That's great. And somebody else might say, oh, he's living a horrible life.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Right.
You know. And a lot of us would agree that's offensive. That's not only inappropriate, it's offensive to have
that concern. That is dangerous to have that concern.
Well, exactly, because the concern, but from that person's perspective, their sincerely held perspective in many cases, maybe not always, it is them wanting to help save that person from some horrible bad life decision.
Yeah, like the pro-life people, they literally think that babies are dying.
Yeah, and they go to hell.
Which is insane, but it's like, in their minds, they think they're doing the right thing, you know.
And that's what is a complicating factor, because, you know, at a certain point, there's just the incompatibility is strong enough where you just have to say, well, we're going to have to, whatever the mechanism
we'll vote on resolving this. Yeah.
Yeah, whether it's voting or hopefully not anything more than that, but, you know, like, policy decisions and stuff.
So hopefully you don't start killing each other.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ideally, you don't get to that stage. But even if you do, at that point, it's like, all right, whoever, you know, the viewpoint wins that
the strongest
still around.
I mean, well, that's how what war was. It was a, it was like when they couldn't be solved politically, it was solved by war, right? Didn't they have that debate in Crimson Tide? Weren't they talking about that? With
that's like an old like military science maxim, like about like.
Yeah,
war is like politics by other means.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's funny
politics.
That it's funny
it's
that
like
he's
like
actually
like
he's read like The Art of War, and I'm talking about Crimson Tide. Yeah, it's like
it's not from The Art of War; it's from some other European shit.
But in like well, you know, you read it in a scholarly source.
Well, that's where the function. That's where I okay. I think that's one of the war issue is one of the reasons why I get frustrated when sports and other games. Grow to the point where they become hyper competitive and tribal in their own sense. Because think about it, like playing some Magic the Gathering, right? That is a great opportunity to exercise a lot of those things that are in your mind.
We should
like,
do that.
Yes, we should.
Are you leaving, Jesse?
No, I'm just testing the mobility of the headphones.
He's walking around.
Yeah,
he's going to do some crowd work in a bit.
I'm going to come over.
Yeah, we haven't. We forget to tell people that there's 300 people here, but we don't have enough mics to mic the audience, so you never hear them.
They're bored out of their minds.
I mean, admittedly,
the microphone reaches, but the headphones do not.
Wait, there's another quandary, a life quandary right there.
This is insane.
Yeah, you got cords of different lengths.
There's so much happening here.
Anyway,
I'm kind of hungry, man.
All right, you okay? So we can let's finish it up. Let's wrap it up. Wrap up these beans.
Like you do with your dick when you're fucking someone and want to be safe. You wrap it up.
I use bareback. I always bareback.
I use bareback.
I use bareback condoms.
That's what I'm going to start a company called Bareback Condoms.
It feels so good.
But they probably
so
have.
Girls
that,
don't
like,
wrap it up. Do they wrap it in?
Yes.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wrap it out. They wrap it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but it still comes in.
On
you
occasion.
Wrap up your dick. What do you do to your vagina?
I have no idea.
Have the guy wear a condom.
But what if you wear one of those IEDs or whatever?
Oh, that's just...
That shit don't work.
Okay. All right. All right.
Don't use that shit.
You don't want to have an IED up your vagina.
Dan's assignment is to go home and do some Googling.
Google IED.
IED. They've got an IED in their... That's where they belong in a woman's vagina, right?
That is... Well...
IED?
Belong is, yeah. An, is
people
an
might listen
that's
to
very misogynistic,
podcast.
Yeah.
To no. Say they end up...
You're explosive
they
needs to be up.
All IEDs are good for is putting in women's vaginas.
Are you talking about improvised explosive devices?
Yeah. Those go up the
poontie. Like in Ireland, they had the nail bombs. Isn't that what they had in Ireland? Nail bombs?
Yeah, they also had mail bombs.
Mail bombs and nail bombs.
But the nail bomb went up the hole of the penis. That's what the nail bomb went up.
And the mail bomb is that, dude I sucked off last night.
Oh, you sucked off a dude without me there?
Yeah,
you fucking bastard.
Nail bomb sounds like the name of a hobbit family that lives way
nail bomb.
Out,
isn't
like,
that
way
a band?
Out in the north.
Nail bomb?
Like an industrial band,
Goblin.
Isn't it?
Nilbog, that's the name Goblin backwards that movie that from that movie Troll 2.
Yes.
Trolls.
Anyway, the assignments. Dan's got some Googling to do.
Wait, what was Jesse saying about when you said
Jesse's lurking
about hobbits.
Dan.
Jesse said
nail
something.
Bomb.
He said, you said something. Yeah,
isn't there some sort of an industrial metal band called Nail Bomb?
Metal band, as opposed to a Norwegian.
I
know
what
I'm talking about.
I know what IEDs are.
No, you don't.
Okay. Dan's going to do some Googling. Daniel, you said you're going to go to either
don't
Harris
believe
Teeter.
Me.
You're talking about an
no,
IU.
You, so Dan, so okay, me. I just want to know where you guys are ending up because it's late at night. I'm supposed to, Jesse forgot his phone, so I'm supposed to contact his wife when he heads out so that she can time his return.
Makes like a baby and head out.
Dan, were you going to go to Harris Teeter?
Yeah, it's too late. I don't feel like going to it tonight.
I may go there.
Maybe you might go tomorrow.
Or you might go to McDonald's.
Well, I might go to Harris Teeter to check out their Chinese food bar. Is
they
that
got,
good?
That's not
going to
be open at this
hour. Oh, it'll be closed?
That will not be open.
Do you think they'll still have sodas left tomorrow?
They might got some sushi hanging around.
They had a bunch in the aisle. Well, what is there to eat at Harris Teeter at this hour? Like a sandwich or something?
I mean, you get this. I mean, it's a fucking grocery store.
Dan, when you bought the sodas, did they have a lot of sodas left when you bought them? You
buy some hot dogs. And cook them.
Okay,
up at home.
In the regular aisle, they had no Coke. I had got the last Coke Zero out of the regular aisle, but on the
end cap
had a bunch still. So, and it had a bunch of regular Coke and everything. I almost got a regular Coke to throw in the mix, but then I was like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, you fucking blew my mind with that.
Should have gotten a regular Coke.
That anecdote fucking blew my mind.
I could have been drinking regular Coke.
I could have done it. I thought I had some good succinct stories.
You
tonight.
Did, and I sounded sarcastic. I was sincere. I like the anecdote about the Cokes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's helpful information to me because now I know that there probably won't be a lot there when I go tomorrow.
That's the at this point, I mean,
it's an IUD they put in their vaginas. Is Cokes. An IUD.
Just put it up there, Dan.
It's not an IED. I knew that.
Dan.
I was just making a joke.
Dan, you know when you were...
I was being so clever.
You know when you had your...
I was being meta self-deprecating.
Remember when you had just the tip in that vagina? And then she was like, just put it in. And you were like teasing her. And you're like, no, I'm not going to put it all the way in.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just the tip.
Yeah, just the tip. Exactly. Dan was teasing this girl because he's got a big, long dick. And he put
the tip in.
The chick was just like, give it to me. Push it deep. Okay. Push it
deep.
Don't
spread such vile rumors.
Stop.
And you were just like, I ain't pushing it
deep.
You're
like projecting or something.
I don't know what I'm doing.
You're reflecting.
I'm feeling it.
Okay.
Speaking of dicks.
Yes.
The mushrooms are on the TV again.
So you guys are going to Harris Teeter.
I'm probably going to get a sandwich.
Harry Titties.
Are you going to Harris Teeter? I'm going to stay here.
I may go home, but there's nothing to eat at the house, so I think I might go to Harris Teeter.
I may go home.
Yes. Okay. So you guys are going various places. Jesse, are you going any place on the way home?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
You're not going to stop at
7-Eleven? I wish, but...
McDonald's?
I don't think so.
Jack in the Box?
I'm just going to... Excuse me.
I don't think so.
All right, guys, I'm heading out.
I'm making like a tree heading out.
Wait, you didn't say the time. You didn't even wait till the end of the podcast.
I forgot about the time thing.
It's not even done, you son of a bitch.
Whoa. You starting some shit here. No. It's 2:04 a.m. Saturday, March 2nd, 2019.
Great.
I think that's good. That's a good stop.
Seems like
time.
We did it. We did it, guys.
Yay.
We did it.
You want to start small? But think tall. That's your plan with computers that can go along with you.
How are you gonna do it?
Well, you're gonna PS to it.
With the IBM PS2.
You wanna network up and network down. To share information with other towns. A well-organized team. Well, that's your dream.
How are you gonna do it?
How? You're gonna PS to it.
With the IBM PS2.
You want to juggle 10 things all at once and still have time to break for lunch. Ooh, in your business, you got a bottom line mission. You got to rise above all the competition.
How are you gonna do it?
Easy, you're gonna PS to it.
The solution is IBM. The solution is IBM.
This is my Texas Instruments home computer. Great for learning. The only thing wrong is I never get to use it. See, this morning the kids learned about math.
Perfect.
This afternoon, my neighbors learned how to balance their budget. Then these guys came by to learn how to fight aliens. Now I'm going to learn chess. Observe the master.
With the home computer from Texas Instruments, you're not just playing, you're learning.
Checkmate! Well, I guess you can learn from losing.